Comments made on the Serotalk podcast are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access mobile network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Locke.
Welcome to Serotalk. Podcast 55 for November 23, 2010. This is Michael Off.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And it's Mike Calvo.
A lot of exciting news, including the release of Serotech's DocuScan Plus.
Yay!
Of course, Serotech was the first with SA2Go to offer you a screen reader that you could use from any computer located anywhere in the world as long as you had an internet connection and sound card. Now, the first to offer DocuScan Plus that you can use from any computer connected to the internet along with a Twain-compliant scanner.
So yes, you can visit DocuScanPlus.com, and this is self-voicing, so it doesn't matter which screen reader you're using, you're going to be able to use DocuScan Plus. You can own Serotech products, and of course we hope you do, but if you don't own other Serotech products, you can still use this online. You can use it to scan PDFs as well as the printed documents. And you're also going to be able to convert your scanned material into a DAISY book, which is automatically going to be marked up with headers so that you can navigate through the chapters of your material rather than just the traditional being able to navigate by sentence or paragraph or phrase. It's quite convenient. You're going to have an audio representation of your material, or you can navigate through it via text. You can send your documents to the Kindle if you have one of those, and lots of other cool stuff that you're just going to have to go to DocuScanPlus.com to check out for yourself.
And by the way, surprise, 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 for the first week, you can go over there and use it for free. That's right. No registration required, no nothing. You can just go over there, do your scans, test it out, kick the tires, do some PDF files, do whatever it is you want to do. If you want to retrieve your documents again to, you know, move them around or whatever, you're going to have to use the same computer that you tried it on the first time. So this is not for you to keep. It's just for you to play with and try it. But it is a way for you to try it on as big a document as you want. You know, please feel free to throw whatever you want at it. But I think you're going to find that even on things like PDF files, it really does beat the tar, as they say, out of Adobe's way of looking at a PDF file. And people are having a great time in beta playing with the faxes. If you get faxes from an online fax service like eFax or whatever, you can just feed those through any kind of graphical PDF. And if you're using System Access and you encounter a PDF file that is graphics only, it'll actually ask you, hey, do you want to run DocuScan Plus? Because this document can't be read with Adobe Reader with accessibility. And you'd say, yep. And it'll just do it all magically on the cloud, as you will.
And two other very important features are not only the DAISY books, but creation of MP3 audio files, so you can take it on the go with your portable MP3 player, and creation of Braille files. That's right, BRF files. So those of you Braille enthusiasts will love that capability to convert your scanned documents and PDF files as well to Braille.
And large print. We got large print too.
Yes, we do.
You know, the cool thing, guys, that I'm so excited about this is kind of all the sizzle. Of course, as geeks, we love all the different features we get. But the reality is, too, for us as a community and as a marketplace, for $299, you get a lot of the same features you get in the products that up to now, we're very much worth the $999 you paid for them. I've spoken on this podcast and other places that I have a great deal of admiration for those products, and I think they're awesome. But Serotech, again, in its usual customary fashion, has been able to raise the bar technologically but lower the cost to consumers by 66%. That's humongous. Now people, it doesn't need to be something that you can say, oh, you know, can I afford that or whatever. $299 is a small price to pay for the amount of technology you get in this product that actually exceeds what you get with the other products. So I am pretty excited about the way that we've been able to lower the cost and the great work that has been done in building this product. We were able to use a lot of the people in our SAMNet community. We used a lot of crowdsourcing. Peter Bosley is one of our Cerotech customers, and he actually worked side by side with the development team. And it was the first time I've ever seen that a company has kind of crowdsourced even the development aspects when it comes to product management of a product. And I thought that that was very cool. So hats off to Peter and the way that he organized things like our weekly chats and the beta lists and things like that. And of course, to the rest of the Cerotech team that are, you know, paid employees and that are online all the time. But this was a very cool community effort, and I do believe that we'll put out an article soon that you can read that kind of goes into the details as to how that was done, because I think it's a neat way to develop software.
And speaking of innovation, we're also very excited to talk about a release from Apple and their Apple TV. The latest iOS that they put out for the Apple TV now includes VoiceOver. So for $99, you now have an accessible TV set-top box. Although I have to clarify that a little bit, because when you say set-top box, people assume that it interfaces with your cable provider and PVR and all that stuff. So that's not quite the case, but people are using it to work fully with Netflix and other technologies. We'll link to a demo of it over at lalrecording.com. That's a listen out loud, and Dara puts those out, and other folks contribute to that as well. So, Mikey, you're very excited about accessibility coming to Apple TV.
You know, this, no pun intended, really blindsided me. I did not expect them to do this. I knew from reading a lot of the kind of the hacker stuff that there was the ability to run iOS in the product, but it was abundantly clear from people who kind of hacked at it from the beginning that iOS was not in there. And it seems that Apple was hiding it up its sleeve. I mean, even to the degree of where they put the remote out there, the guys over at LAL Recording also put out a demo of that. He put out a recording showing Digital Dara did of how he could use his iPhone to control his Apple TV. And I thought, oh, that was cool, but it was not enough of a compelling reason for me to go out and buy one. When I saw this, though, and I saw other articles around that say, hey, you know, you can install iOS apps on this thing, you just can't run them yet. That really got me thinking. You know, people, it's important for so many different groups of people, but especially for the visually impaired, that this device be able to run iOS apps. Simply because for $99, you can put this thing in your living room, and now using iBlink Radio, using our SAMNet app for iOS, and maybe even going out there a little bit, because you know they're going to end up putting FaceTime on this thing at some point or another, even DocuScan Plus on this device, because of course our future plans for DocuScan include covering using document cameras and cell phones and things like that. So for us as a community, this is huge. For Apple as a company, boy, I mean, these guys have been able to, for $99, give you a way into their ecosystem of content distribution, of all the different things that the iOS platform brings. It's an amazing feat. I think that the product still has a little ways to go to bring it to where we want it to be. Not that it sucks now. I'm saying it seems very cool. And I'm actually on my way to go pick one up right after we finish recording here. I'm going to go get one in the next podcast, I'll tell you. And those of you that follow me on Twitter, shameless plug, twitter.com/Mike Calvo, can follow my happenings there. But I am very excited about this. And it's very interesting to note that while this product seems to be gaining some traction, things like the Google TV seem to be getting the middle finger from the industry. I mean, yesterday, Viacom blocked the Google TV, ABC, NBC, CBS. They've all unilaterally kind of collected, and it's kind of like, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing. It really has become that way, where you see that all the networks are gathering up and saying, Google, we're not going to let you in. What do you guys think about that? I mean, why is that? Why do these guys have a propensity to say, okay, Apple, it's okay, But Google, hell no.
I feel like it's a case of Apple is the devil we know. Apple is huge in the media space, and Google has their fingers in pretty much every other pie. And I just feel like the content providers really want to see the devil they know rather than having Google pretty much take over the world.
I think Apple's blatant about what they want to do. I don't think that Steve Jobs makes any pulls any punches and makes a hidden agenda. I think that Google has kind of creeped its way into everybody's life. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily like it, you know, an Apple-centric world where Apple is the solution we have, you know, and the only solution we have. But for now, I'm real happy. I think that these iOS devices all communicating, you know, the fact that they can communicate, the fact that you've got AirPlay, which is another neat technology where you can, you know, stream stuff from your iPhone or from your iPad, which is in 4.2. All that stuff makes it a very compelling consumer experience. And while I don't like to see anybody having a monopoly, at the same time, you got to admit, you know, Apple has fought for it and they've won it fair and square. Google has tried to, I think, buffalo its way into it. And Android, while it's compelling, I think, Ricky, you said it best when we were talking. I think a year from now, we'll see a more advanced Android that does things better than it does today. But Apple will always be shinier. Apple will always be cooler.
There's two reasons that Google is being outcast by the networks. A, think of YouTube. And B, think about the fact that Google has and already shown a propensity. They can go and negotiate directly with these production studios and take their content straight to the internet.
That's interesting because they have Hulu Plus, of course, which, you know, it's kind of Hulu Plus is one of those things where you say, do the networks really want Hulu Plus to make it or not? Or is it just kind of a like they're hedging a bet against themselves just in case? You know, and YouTube, I think that would be interesting to see what the networks really think about YouTube, because I don't think of, oh, Fox or YouTube, which one should I go to? I just don't see them in the same. YouTube is amateur, dude. It just is amateur.
Yes, but there is a lot of network content up there, and networks have to consciously choose which things they send out the cease and desist and get them to remove that content.
It's kind of like the United States with communism with Cuba. You know, we embargo Cuba, but we still allow people here to send money over to them, so to the Cuban community over there, which is a very interesting tie-in here. It's a double standard, to say the least, where people kind of keep their finger in that pie, and then, but at the same time, they don't want it. So I don't know. I found it very interesting, Ricky's observation. It is the devil, you know, and I think that Steve Jobs' agenda is very clear. He's made it clear from the get-go.
But there's a lot of shakeups. I mean, if the Comcast-NBC merger is allowed to take place, now you have Hulu Plus. They've launched it now, lowering the price. Initially, it was $9.95. Now that they made it public, it's $7.99 for that service. And not to be outdone, Netflix, I just got an email saying, hey, you know, you used to pay $8.99. Guess what? We're going to raise it $1, and you can still have DVDs mailed to you for $9.99. Or you can exclude having DVDs mailed and strictly watch content online for $7.99.
Well, that's another nail in the coffin of DVDs, dude. DVDs, it's going to die sooner or later. I don't know when that's going to come. I don't know if it's going to be a year, 2 years, 5 years. I mean, Blu-ray rocks. It's really awesome visually. The sound is good. You know, all that stuff. But sooner or later, I mean, I just put in 45x5 cable here at home. And Michael, you're putting in something very similar at your place. Ricky, you've got high speed at your place. I mean, you know, you're looking at 100 megabit. Cox, I think, just introduced 100 megabit speeds out in California. Fios just up there to 150x35. Disgusting. The days of DVDs, I think, are over. And I think that they're just using that money to subsidize getting better deals with the studios to be able to get more streaming content.
Well, there's a lot of old school people who still love DVDs. So I think they're banking that more than half of the people will pay the extra dollar rather than drop that. I don't know yet. I just watched a DVD, the first one that I had mailed to me from Netflix. So we'll see how all that comes to pass. Other things.
Yeah, I kept it. I mean, you know, I kept it.
Yeah, and I'll probably keep it too. And I think there's always going to be at least a small market for media that you can hold in your hand. People want to own things. At least some people want to own things. And you have the, you know, the Laserdisc folks who are, they want to collect this stuff.
You're dating yourself there, girl. What's a Laserdisc?
But they're a small but very legitimate market. They wanted to collect things, and I think people are still going to be that way about
Betamax. I'm sure there's a few of those out there still.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, hell, what about those wax cylinders with the?
Well, the point is that there are always going to be people who want to hold something in their hand. The same is true for, you know, hardback books. Electronic digital books are huge, but there's still something about holding something in your hand that
people
are going to cling to. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
So you recently had the pleasure of flying, didn't you?
Yeah, well, they didn't. You know, I was hoping for a good groping and didn't get it. Damn.
That was pretty much the whole reason for the trip, wasn't it?
It was. Well, you know, we should find the TSA commercial that was just aired on Saturday Night Live. TSA. It was great. Joe sent me a link to it, and of course I clicked on it, and it had been removed from YouTube at that point. So anybody who's got it, maybe we can get it and slip it in here if the production group finds it. If not, get it to us. I want to hear it again. TSA. Sorry, I interrupted your flow there, Ricky.
I was quite done, I think.
In other stuff, Apple's released their iOS 4.2 for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. And Mikey, I want to start with you because it's really the first release update for the iPad since its launch, right?
It is. Let me tell you, the first things I noticed were things I hate. The slider switch that used to be orientation lock button is now the mute button, which makes absolutely no sense on the iPad because the iPad doesn't vibrate, hello. So, you know, it does the same thing on both on the phone and on the iPad now. If you want to lock the orientation, you have to go into the app switcher, which sucks in my opinion. I don't like the fact that you still get cut off on TTS.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I'm running at 80% and it chops off words at the end. You know, I'm finding also that if I'm listening to a podcast and it plays and voiceover talks or I get a phone call, whatever, when the podcast comes back, even though it's at 100%, the podcast is playing lower and I have to stop the podcast, turn it back on, and whatever, you know, voiceover is doing to duck the volume isn't done anymore. Some of the other stuff is cool. You can put the speed in the rotor, but I didn't notice anything different on the iPad. In fact, I don't really care.
Well, aside from multitasking, but
yeah, but I don't use that. I don't care if when I'm on the iPad, man, I want one thing at a time in front of me. Multitasking was important on my phone, but I don't know how important it was on my tablet. But you know, they did it, so they cool.
I noticed I can now crank my speech up to 100% and I don't get any choppiness. Nothing gets cut off. I don't notice any faster response time when I'm touch typing. I think a lot of people with 3GSs will notice that, but my iPhone 4 performs the same as it always has in that respect. The other thing I noticed is the new text messaging sounds that they have included, and they are spectacularly bad. I can't believe how horrible they are.
And they're long.
Yeah, I almost wondered if they were really being serious about it. Like, huh, you want new text messaging sounds? Well, here you go. We'll find the crappiest things imaginable and give them to you. And yeah, a lot of them are like ringtones. I mean, they last for 6 seconds or so.
It would drive me insane. I'm using the teletype one. I used to use the glass, you know, the champagne glass.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I still don't understand why the heck they don't let you use whatever you want. But anyway.
Agreed.
Maybe that's how people find their phone. Here, we give you 5-6 seconds. You can find it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, speaking of which, they have now offered the Find My iPhone feature for free. If you're using an iPhone 4, you can sign up from your phone. You basically associate your Apple ID with a MobileMe account. Now, you don't have to pay for MobileMe in order to use the Find My iPhone feature. and then you install the app on your phone and you're able to visit a URL from your machine and actually get coordinates for where your phone is.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, that is cool. Now, if you could just send a major burst of electricity through your phone to whoever's talking on it.
That'd be good.
That'll teach you. The iZap.
iZap. Coming to an iPhone near you.
Or not.
Yeah, and they'll be very startled and they will drop your phone and it will shatter into a million pieces.
Nice.
Victor Reader Stream firmware 3.3 has been released with some bug fixes and two new additional languages have been added to it. So check that out. There's also a new companion 3.3, although when I downloaded it, it said FR instead of EN. So I don't know what it's going to do.
If you have a Victor Stream and you're on SAMNet, all you got to do is plug it in. We recognize the fact that there is an update and we push the update to you automatically, so you don't need, or automagically, however you want to phrase it.
How convenient.
Yes. So you don't have to worry about anything. You just plug it in, and SAMNet updates it for you. Another reason to purchase SAMNet from Serotech Corporation, the accessibility anywhere people. Oh, sorry.
www.serotech.com.
Mikey, I know you got to leave us and take care of your important CEO stuff before
I got to go.
Yeah, got to go right now. But before Ricky and I give you the rest of the news, we're going to play a three-minute segment of a presentation you did to the ACB Mid-Atlantic Conference on November 6th. And then after that, we'll come back with the rest of the news.
Of the story.
What follows is a presentation given by Serotalk's CEO, Mike Calvo, at the ACB Mid-Atlantic Conference, Saturday, November 6th, 2010.
The first to create access to social networking tools. Yeah. Now, this is true. How many people here use Facebook? Let me hear you. How many people here use Twitter? Let me hear you. How many people here are able to communicate with other blind people on a level playing field because of these products? Let me hear you. Well, you know what? We gave you that access first. We saw the vision of social networking and we said, we've got to give people access to this. Serotech created the first iOS product, the first product for the Apple iPhone and iPad platform. How many people here have Apple products?
Yeah.
Let's give a round of applause for Apple because they are awesome, man. They really are. Now here's the one I'm scared to ask. How many people here have heard of an application called iBlink Radio?
Yes, sir!
iBlink Radio is the world's first application for the blind on the iPhone platform, but we're not done. Next, we've got SAMNet for iPhone, which is going to give you access to our award-winning network.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be able to take all your fun stuff on your iPhone. The one that makes me even more excited than that is a product that we call DocuScan Plus. DocuScan Plus, it is the world's first cloud-based scanning solution. What does that mean? It means that you can walk up to any computer in the world that's running either Windows Vista or Windows XP or Windows 7 that has either a scanner connected to it, or that you can connect a camera or a scanner to it yourself. And if it's a plug-and-play solution, I want to make sure, because I don't get people, you said it'll work with anything. You know, if it's a plug-and-play solution, you can simply go to a website, run a self-talking, very similar to SA2Go, a little program, and it will scan your product, load it up to the cloud, give you OCR, and send it right back to you. And it will be available on the iOS and Android platforms very soon. This will be a product that will be available to everyone. It will have ADF support. It will have all kinds of different stuff that you expect to find in products that are over $1,000. Again, death to the $1,000 price tag. We don't want that anymore. So in wrapping it up, I just want to show you. This is what happens when you got a vision. Let me ask you a question. What's your vision? I believe that visions are given to us by our Creator. And if you believe the same, it would be an awful Creator that would give you the ability to dream and never give you the ability to achieve that dream. Do you agree?
Yeah.
So go out and find your dream. What is it? Do it. Thank you.
To hear the rest of this presentation, visit www.serotalk.com. Now, the rest of the story with Michael Loff and Ricky Inger.
Ricky, very interesting article. A lady by the name of Amy Chapman basically creating YouTube videos showing how to go through the process of training a dog to become a guide dog. And it's interesting that the dog has the same first name as you.
And yes, indeed.
Her last name, Chapman, is the same as the lady I will be interviewing in a special coming up for our Tech Chat 79 pre-recorded. We'll put that out on November 24th. Caring for your pets.
The video that you spoke about is becoming a series. They're calling it Growing Up Guide Pup. They go through raising a guide dog named Ricky. And I always wondered what would happen if you found your perfect guide dog match, but you both shared the same name.
That exactly.
Very interesting.
I was going to say that. I wonder if that's ever happened or if a school intentionally would make sure that that would never happen. I wondered that very thing. What if Ricky got a dog named Ricky?
Yeah, I'm sure that something like it has happened.
Of course,
the
dog is R-I-C-K-I. You can call it Rick-I. Oh.
Some people have changed the names of their dogs just slightly. If they didn't like something, they might change it to, say, Nikki, or something that sounded similar enough that all of the training wouldn't go away, but the dog would still not have the same name as the owner, I guess. But very interesting little series about raising the guide dog, well, raising the pup to become a guide dog. And you can check that out on
A link, of course. Links for all the stuff we're going to talk about today over at serotalk.com. And I know some folks always get bothered by the Apple news, so we'll do it first and then move on to the myriad of other things we're going to talk about. But first off, in Apple news today, did you know you can actually get refunds for crappy apps that you may have purchased?
I've never done this before, but I think it's a good idea, especially if the reason that you're returning the app is that it's inaccessible. I think you're probably less likely to get a refund if you say,
"This app sucks,"
or whatever. But you can, in fact, get a refund. You go and look at the iTunes store in iTunes, then you check out your purchasing history. You choose the app that you want a refund for, and there is a web form where you can request a refund, and you have to supply your reasons for doing that.
Yeah, you fill out the form there. Likewise, and we do have a direct link. Apple actually has a web form for that as well. Now, I've spoken with someone who told me that Apple's general policy is one refund. They'll do it once, but beyond that, so that's just kind of a policy they have. So it suggested that maybe you want to use that for a more expensive app that you've purchased. And I don't know that accessibility is going to be a reason. They talk more be for apps that actually crash your iPhone and just don't work and keep closing themselves. But it's worth a try, certainly. And that might be a good way to make our concerns don't, even if we don't get the refund, to just start submitting forms for apps that are not accessible. Well, after bashing the iPhone 4 and not recommending it because of antenna issues, Consumer Reports has come out and rates the MacBook Air top in its class for portable notebooks. And, of course, Consumer Reports has always been favorable to MacBooks because they're not solely focused on price. They go for performance. But for those of you who just aren't going to get a Mac and are going to go to the Windows space, the top mentions there are the Toshiba Satellite or the Toshiba Portage, P-O-R-T-E-G-E. So you can check that out. Of course, you have to pay to be a member of Consumer Reports to actually read the reviews. So they like the Mac Air. I just thought maybe the speed of it would be a little too slow, but it's getting a lot of positive reviews out there. Apple has revised their internal support policy having to do with iPod water damage. And it very specifically requires that employees must look more specifically beyond signs of damage to what's called the LIC, or LCI, actually, liquid contact indicator. No mention was made specifically for the iPhone. But in April, Apple was sued by an individual in San Francisco saying that their service repairs were declined solely based on these sensors, which, by the way, are located just below the headphone jack and near the 30-pin connector. So when these sensors come in contact with water or some liquid, they change from their normal color of white or silver and now become red or pink.
I had to laugh because in the documentation for this, they actually state that the device will not be covered for damage by water or liquid containing water. So I guess if you have liquid that doesn't contain water, if you expose the thing to liquid nitrogen, you're all good.
Because I guess physical water, H2O, maybe would be the only thing to alter it. But you know, like I said, my son's home button went out and they wouldn't honor it. And maybe it would be covered by this change in policy. They have to go a little bit beyond it. Just looking at those
sensors,
exactly. So Apple has released their Mac OS X 10.6.5 with some graphic fixes and improvements of more stable voiceover. This bad boy weighed in at over 500 megabytes, so I'm going to guess maybe there were some security fixes and who knows what else in there. I didn't go read all the specifics, but it does seem to run on both my machines. Voiceover does seem more stable. Support for Safari web browser seems a little bit improved, so right on. Updates are good. Software updates are real good. CandleShore Blog has an 8-minute audio file on making the TV Guide mobile app work better with voiceover. And that is good news to hear, because TV Guide is the de facto standard for getting listings of shows. And so if we can use that, it's a great enhancement to allow us to use our iPhone or iDevices to kind of find out what's on TV and when and who's starring and times and channels and so forth. So right on, go give that a listen if you like. Link, of course, at serotalk.com. Apple Vis has an article on pairing the Apple Wireless keyboard with an iPhone. I will say it is very easy to do, but if you need some help and kind of figure out if you're new to the iPhone as well and don't really know how to go into settings and find and turn on the Bluetooth, and then I believe I said look for devices, and it came back and told me the 4-digit code to enter and press enter on the keyboard, and voila, they were connected. So it's very simple, but that article's there if you'd like some more information. Apple has obtained exclusive rights to Beatles music, and Mike Calvo had a post last week, yawn, big deal, because they said this is a big announcement. But to me, I'm reading the story again because of the phrase exclusive rights, meaning Google and Amazon do not...
They can't do anything with it, right.
This is laying an interesting foundation, because in another story, you know, talking about Comcast and their purchase of NBC and how the FCC wants to make sure that they don't use that power and exclude certain programs only to the Comcast network. So we're seeing this interesting paradigm where these technologies can actually be limited to certain companies, and you're going to have to go to more than one place. An official Google Voice app for the iPhone has been put out. I don't know anyone who has played with it thus far, but as we migrate over to stories about Google, here's what I have to ask you about, Ricky. Google Docs. They finally have an app for the iPhone and iPad as well as Android. So I have to ask you, Ricky, since you seem to be the Google Docs queen and concerned about accessibility, have you played with it and is it usable?
I am pretty obsessed with this, and it isn't actually an app. Rather, it is... a web address that you go to in Safari, so you can go to docs.google.com. They're still in the process of rolling this out, but basically the way that it's going to work is you will be able to look at your docs, and in the top right-hand corner of the screen, there will be an edit button which you can choose, and then the keyboard should magically appear. Now, when I tested this yesterday, they apparently had not finished rolling it out because I don't yet see an edit button. And I did have someone check visually just to make sure that I wasn't missing it because of accessibility reasons. But if this does in fact work the way that it should, it's very exciting.
Other Google stuff. Now you can get text-only directions from Google Maps. And an article has been posted about free alternatives to the departed Goog 411. Man, I miss that service. I love just calling it up on my old school phone. But of course, you can get
the
Goog 411 is no longer available.
You can still get directions texted to your phone. A phone number, an address to a business, so it is still out there for you.
Yeah, you can still send text messages to Google, and you might say something like movies 28212 to be able to get movie listings in your zip code and so on. But there are free alternatives that you can call and use your voice to ask for these types of listings. Bing 411 appears to be the most popular. You can dial 1-800-BING-411. Or call 411. They both point to the same service.
Bing 411.
The other one is
Free 411,
which isn't quite as good on the voice recognition front, but it's pretty easy to remember the number for it anyway. And all of those services work generally pretty well.
And of course, there's the old school Tell Me, which you can actually get like GPS directions. You can tell it where you are and where you want to go, and then it will give you one direction at a time, and it pauses, and you can write it down and say next or whatever. So still Tell Me is out there.
And you can get really important things like your horoscope.
And movie listings and news, sports, and weather. So there's a lot of cool stuff. Tell Me.
Michael, you want to try that on key?
Tell Me. And finally, in Google land, there's been a free screen reader released into the Android market. It is called Spiel.
Spiel's been available for a while, but not in the Android marketplace. So there have been people playing with it. But it's great to see this alternative to TalkBack actually in the marketplace. It's a bit easier to get to now than it was before. And I believe later in the podcast, we'll have Joe Steinkamp taking a look at Spiel and letting us know what it does best and letting us know how it all works.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. An HBO special called Dark Light, The Art of Blind Photographers, spotlights three blind photographers, Pete Eckert, Bruce Hall, and Henry Butler. Now, Bruce, of course, is an expert diver and does underwater photography. Henry's specialty is actually getting quality photographs of people, and that's his specialty, and he kind of charms them, warms them over, gets them to smile and feel good and relax, and that should be a very interesting special. We'd like to see that. Maybe we'll get our producer to see if we can get interviews for one or more of these folks for an upcoming tech chat, because that's been one area I've been interested. I don't know about you, Ricky, but I would just like the ability, ever in a group of people and they all want a picture of everyone but you, and it'd be nice if you could just step in there and grab that photo.
Absolutely. This story was interesting to me for another reason, though, and it kind of made me understand why we get some of the behaviors that we get from sighted people who say, I couldn't do this as a blind person, therefore, surely no one can do this as a blind person. And in the past, when I've thought of blind photography, I kind of chuckled, you know, ha ha, that's like a blind person driving a car. There's no way they could do a quality job. You might get really great pictures of someone's thumb and that's about it. That would be my level as a blind photographer. And I made the assumption that because I don't think visually, and that would be something that I'm not good at, that it was something blind people in general couldn't do well. And I'm glad to be proven wrong, but it just goes to show that all of us sort of have interesting what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm also interested to see if these three individuals were blind their entire lives, because some of the folks I've heard of doing photography initially had eyesight and then lost it and just continued the passion. So that would be one thing that I'm not sure of based on the article.
Right. Well, I know that one of them wasn't. Henry, who takes pictures of people, was blind since birth. So at least one of them never did have sight.
I definitely would love to learn how that works, because I've tried it, you know, with my iPhone or my N82, and I'm too high, I'm too low. You know, the guy's 6'6", and I'm capturing something I shouldn't be. So, you know, learning to use the shutter and zoom in, get the proper angles, that would be very interesting to learn more about. So we'll see if we can get a tech chat going on that. I'm definitely, that's an area I'm personally interested in. In other news, according to the release of the 2010 APH report, it states that the BookPort Plus will offer support for additional file formats, including RTF, the .docx, which is used in Microsoft Word 2007 and 2010, protected WMA files, which could open up OverDrive, which is a service for getting books through many libraries, the EPUB format, open library files, in addition to playing podcasts and internet radio streams. Now, that to me would make it the number one device that I would want, although, quite honestly, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to buy another specific device like that, but that certainly, in addition to its already great audio recording capabilities, to me would move it up a few notches as being the one device that I would go with. But again, it depends on what you're trying to do, if you're into reading your books really fast or what it is that you want the device to do. Hims Inc. has launched their product mailing lists, so we have a link to that. You can go and subscribe to whichever products you're interested in. Blind Bargains did an audio interview with Hims about their future in the USA at the recent ATIA 2010 event near Chicago at the end of October. So you can go check that out at blindbargains.com or get the link from serotalk.com. And Blind Bargains also spoke with Dan Weirich from GW Micro, who says they still have a future in the hardware business. So you can check that out, and it'll be interesting to see where they may be going. Orca Screen Reader for Linux version 2.32.1 has been released, so go get that if you like playing with Linux and Orca. The NFB, National Federation for the Blind, has filed a complaint against Penn State due to numerous accessibility problems, in particular discriminating against blind students and faculty for primarily a variety of computer and technology services that are inaccessible. So you can, again, go read that at serotalk.com. Are you tired of installing Flash?
Yes, I am.
Well, check this out at cool site, updateflash.org. Now, some folks already sent me on Twitter and said, I can do it. You just click on the I button.
Click on the I button and then you tab around a couple of times and
click on the Q button and everything's fine. But there are some toolbars that may be installed. So this automates it. You just run this, and there's another one for non-IE, or it actually does all browsers. So you can get the one directly from updateflash.org for Internet Explorer, but if you use other ones, you actually ultimately go to, and I think more interesting in this article, is this site called ninite.com, N-I-N-I-T-E.com, because what you do there is you can get auto installers for many programs, for Windows or Linux. Basically, you go through and check all the boxes of all the apps that you want. You can press H to move by headings for different categories of software, and then you download. Looks like a really small file, so it must actually go pull the latest versions at the time that you want to run the installer. And it supposedly installs all these apps automatically without your prompting and without all the junk, the toolbars, and third-party add-ons that might come into play. So for those of you
who
build...
What a nice idea. This is convenient.
Yeah, so for those of you who build computer systems, this could be an awesome tool. There is a pro version, and I'd be curious to see what you get if you actually pay for that. I might look into that, because I do build some computers from scratch, so we'll maybe do a review of that if we find it to be really innovative, but it is a cool service and something to check out. The U.S. government is actually already has held one meeting and will be holding two more to determine what they will mandate companies to do to comply with ADA, in particular cyberspace, by 2012. Proposals include mandating that websites auto-speak for blind users and possibly mandating that movie theaters be forced to be equipped with technologies allowing deaf persons to read captions on small screens mounted at their seats. The Justice Department hearing in Chicago took place on November 18th, and we're going to try to contact Kelly Pierce to find out more on what happened there. Also, hearings are slated for December 16th in Washington, D.C., and January 10, 2011 in San Francisco. These meetings are designed to hear both from people with disabilities and from industries affected by these changes, which could cost companies hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's a few quick things I want to mention. No great detail. You can read more on all these stories at serotalk.com. But if you use WordPress, check out the new accessible plugins page that we linked to over there. A story from National Public Radio, very interesting, talking about how many veterans are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan now have vision problems. Basically, there's kind of a hole in their vision, where they're a place where they're not seeing things. A blog post, Ask the Question, is Bionic Sight Becoming a Reality? Dating all the way back to, of course, the fictional character, the $6 million man. You remember back in the 70s, Steve Austin, that had that bionic eye that could see all over the place, and he could run 60 miles an hour and all that cool stuff.
And I think we've talked about some form of sight regeneration in at least two of our last podcasts, maybe even three. So it appears that there are advancements in this area.
Well, there's certainly a lot of interest, right? The technology that might restore sight to those, or at least images to those with RP. So you could go read that article. It offers some interesting insights and explains a lot about what's going on in that area and the limitations. You can go read that at Serotalk. Ricky, this is what I'm personally passionate about, and I hope you'll join me in this cause. Many folks, but not enough, are signing the Stop the Internet Blacklist petition because the U.S. Congress wants to create a law that will mandate that lists are created of websites that we can't use because they may or may not contain illegal content. This could prevent us not only from getting to many great websites, but prevent us from seeing video or listening to music or other great content because someone decides it might be illegal. And this is very counter to the internet, and it looks like it's moving with full unanimous support thus far through the committees of Congress. So we need to get involved in this. Get the link at serotalk.com. Get that posted in the socializer for those of you who use iBlink Radio, can scroll over there to it with your iPhone and put in your two cents. This is not something we want. And again, I'm speaking as Michael Off. I don't have the authority to speak on behalf of Serotech. But this is a very important issue and something we need to at least look at. If you don't want to sign it, fine, but at least read about it. Be aware that it is happening. In shopping news, you can check out, first off, Tech Chat 68. We had a great, great Tech Chat on holiday shopping online with Blind Bargains. We had JJ Meadow and Matt McCubbin, and they've just launched a new service with classified ads for $5 per item. So if you have an old cell phone or maybe old piece of access technology, we have one lady who is actually selling a book that she wrote for $1. So you can go check that out over at blindbargains.com, and you can subscribe to their daily Blind Bargains deals and maybe even sell an item or two that you have you'd like to get rid of. $5 is a great price for the few thousand people that it reaches. Also, they did a great section on accessible toys for the young and young at heart. A lot of good stuff there. Bop It, all the different games and things that are out there that the kids and adults might want to play with. We also posted a story. It might have some offensive language, so if that bothers you, you may not want to read it, but I thought it was very interesting, talking about 5 ways that stores trick you into buying crap.
This was very interesting. It is from cracked.com, and that's a site that's usually known for maybe having a little bit of bad language, but posting some very fascinating things. And in this instance, they were talking about things like the Pepsi Challenge, for instance, which sort of proved that there are two portions of your brain which make decisions about which products you buy. One of those parts is the part that analyzes the product for its quality and sort of how you feel about it in general as you taste it or use it or whatever. And the other part of the brain, and this is the part of the brain that that tends to be the most dominant, this part is the one which analyzes the things that you know about brand name. So you may see something with a very popular brand name, and regardless of what you think of it when you taste it or use it or whatever, you may still prefer it because it is most popular and your brain is sort of trained to think, oh, this is the good one.
Yeah, very interesting read if you're into the psychology of it, and makes you realize ways that you're manipulated all the way from discounts for buying 3 or 4 of an item when you really only want one, and a lot of good stuff there, so check that out. Finally, November issue of Access World has some great gift ideas for everyone. Of course, that's published by the AFB, and you can go there directly or get the link at serotalk.com. Likewise, Accessible World did a two-part series on economical gifts for the holidays. I don't know what happened to part one. I can't find it. But part two is there, and it's over 2.5 hours. It included presentations from ILA, you know, Independent Living Aids. I think the Speak to Me catalog products were in there, Blind Bargains, and a few others. So you can give that a listen if you're looking for some ideas. That combined with Tech Chat 78, you're going to be in the know for all that's going on for great holiday deals. And that's what we have from here. So I invite you to stay tuned as Joe gives us the spiel on Spiel, the new screen reader for Android that has been introduced into the Android marketplace.
Happy Thanksgiving. See you in a couple of weeks, folks.
This is Michael Love, here to do a quick demo of Serotech Corporation's latest software release called DocuScan Plus, unique in so many ways. First of all, it is the first online OCR solution. With any Microsoft Windows-based computer, XP or later, an internet connection, and Twain-compliant scanner, take to www.docuscanplus.com and perform scanning, not only on text documents, but also the conversion of PDF files. And not only can you read these PDF files and scan documents, you can also make MP3 files for playback on a variety of different devices, including your own computer. Note, these files will be created with the default voice you are using at the time you choose to make these files. You can also create Daisy books. That's right, books you can play on a variety of different devices with navigation commands. And Braille file support. Convert scanned documents or PDF files into Braille files with the .brf extension. If you're one of those who owns the Kindle from Amazon, scan your important documents or PDF files and send them to your Kindle wirelessly. Now, as I said, you can remote in to www.docuscanplus.com, but as an owner of the software, you can install it on the computers you wish to use on a regular basis. Note, you can only use it on one computer simultaneously. Once purchased, DocuScan Plus will be an option on your SAMNet desktop, but of interest to many people is the fact that you do not need to own System Access or SAMNet to use DocuScan Plus. It is its own software product. Once it's installed on your computer, you can launch it with the hotkey shortcut of Control-Alt-D. DocuScan Plus is self-voicing, so if you walk up to a computer that has no speech software installed, it doesn't matter. As long as you can get to the website, it will begin speaking. Let's demo that. First, I will shut down System Access with Insert F4.
Shutting down System Access.
I will hit Start and the letter R and type www.docuscanplus.com. Those of you who've used SA to Go will be familiar with this running an installation process.
Welcome to DocuScan Plus, a product of Serotech Corporation, www.serotech.com. Please press Enter to begin. Please press Alt plus R to continue.
As you can see, just like SA2Go.com, only for scanning.
Please press Alt plus R again to continue. DocuScan Plus login. If you have an account with DocuScan Plus enabled, please enter your account number and PIN to log in. Account number, editable text, blank, PIN, password field, forgot your login. You're logged on. DocuScan Plus preview, list, simple scan.
Okay, what we have is a list view of options, and they include simple scan, which is what I use and many will use most of the time. This allows you to keep scanning and adding pages to a document until you are completed. But other options include, I will press down arrow.
Batch scan.
Batch scan, which allows you to scan multiple pages without speech, and then once finished, you can save the file.
Auto read scan.
Auto read scan, which will read the document as you're scanning in the pages.
Scan a PDF file.
Scan a PDF file, which we will show you shortly.
Manage documents.
Manage documents with a whole host of features, including the ability to save to MP3, Daisy books, and create Braille files.
Preferences. My account.
Preferences, and of course a My Account section.
Help.
Last but certainly not least, a great help file explaining all of the many powerful features of DocuScan Plus, which we encourage you to read through the 16 sections to learn all available options of this powerful software. Let's go to the top.
Simple scan.
Simple scan, I will press enter.
New window, simple scan. The simple scan option lets you quickly scan one or more pages of text. Just press the continue button and DocuScan Plus will do the rest. Once the page is scanned, you will find buttons for editing the text you have just scanned and a button for you to start scanning the next page. There are also buttons for the quick rescanning of the same page and the button for saving your work is one tab away from the rescan button. You can always choose the start over button if you have made a mistake and you don't want to take the time to edit the document manually. Continue.
Okay, there's a little bit of help to get you started. It's pretty intuitive if you just tap around, but we will press enter and scan our first page.
Scanning the page, please wait. This may take a minute.
DocuScan Plus uses the latest technology.
This may take a minute.
The accuracy to be very good, on par with any OCR technology on the market today. And now let's see what...
Processing the page, please wait. This may take a minute. This page is upside down. Trick or treat with Eden East. Join us at the office from 4:00 p.m. 6:00 p.m. In costumes if you like. To have some treats on Friday, October 29th. Young children should always go trick or treating with an adult. Never trick or treat alone. Have at least two buddies go with you. Plan your entire route and make sure your family knows what it is. Wait until you get home and your parents check your candy before you eat it. Be very cautious of strangers. Accept treats only in the doorway. Never go inside a house. Be sure and say thank you for your treats. Don't play near lit jack-o' lanterns.
No, we never want to play near lit jack-o'-lanterns, but we have a variety of options we can tab through, including
scan next page button,
scan next page,
change settings button,
change settings,
rescan this page button,
rescan this page,
save document button,
save document, which you use after you've scanned all of the pages you wish to have included in said document,
start over button,
the start over button, and then you're back into a list view where you can read, scroll through the document.
End of page.
First off, you notice it said the page was upside down. This does not degrade the quality, but it does tell you if a page is sideways or upside down, which is great if sharing with a sighted counterpart, or especially when it's an important piece of paper that you need to sign.
Edit button.
The edit button allows you to edit the text in the file, including a special feature carried over from SAMNet. That's the ability to have a spell checker, which you activate by pressing F7. If I press enter,
this page is upside down. Editable text, trick or treat with.
Let's press F7 and see what happens.
Check spelling. Drop the boxes below down to choose a suggested replacement. Keep your original or choose. Manually fix. And then check again if none of the suggestions fit what you intended. A text box appears if no suggestions were found. Retype the word and try again. Trick or treat with Eden East. Join us at the office. Check again. Finish checking. Button. DocuScan Plus, scan page, scan next page, button, change settings, button.
Let's look in the change settings button.
Change scanning settings, fax pre-processing.
Here are a variety of options which are better explained in the help file, but first is a checkbox.
Fax pre-processing, checkbox, not checked.
If you check this box, it will make changes to optimize scanning for documents that have been faxed. If we tab again.
Text column detection, drop-down list, automatic.
We have text column detection. Generally, we want to leave this in the automatic mode, but if you have a document that you want to read left to right, top to bottom, let's press Alt down arrow.
List opened, automatic, disabled.
And change this to disabled.
List closed, table detection, drop down list, automatic.
Likewise, you have table detection. And again, always to open these drop downs, we press Alt down arrow.
List opened, automatic.
And we're at the bottom choice, so we press up arrow.
Treat whole page as one table.
Treat whole page as one table, or up arrow again.
Disabled.
To disable this option.
List closed. Graphics detection. Drop-down list. Automatic.
Graphics detection.
List opened. Automatic.
Again, our options are automatic or...
Disabled.
Disabled.
List closed. Look for headers and footers. Checkbox. Checked.
There's a checkbox to look for headers and footers in the document. And the next one...
Look for web links. Checkbox. Checked.
...is checked to look for web links that will automatically convert a website URL to a clickable link.
Rescan this page. Button.
Then we're back to the rescan this page after you've made your changes.
Scanning the page. Please wait. This may take a minute. Processing the page. Please wait. This may take a minute. This page is upside down. A J0T1I434. Young children should always go trick-or-treating with an adult.
Now, as you can see, in this case, the changes we made actually degraded the quality of the document. So you want to use these scan profiles sparingly, but they afford you great options to customize scanning for different documents.
Edit button. Scan next page, change setting, save scanning profile, button.
You see now we have the additional option of save scanning profile. So once you've created a profile that you like, you can use this to save it and give it a name.
Rescan this page, save document, button.
Let's save the document.
Document name, editable text.
Let's call it trick or treat.
Treat, save, button, DocuScan plus preview, DocuScan plus preview, list, simple scan.
Now we're back to our list of options. And again, we can down arrow. Pass simple scan to
batch scan.
Batch scan, which again will bring in multiple pages. Let's just show you what happens.
New window, batch scan. Batch scan allows you to scan several pages of text in one sitting without having to review each page being scanned. This bulk scanning option will then let you save the pages as one single file at any point in the scanning process. Just choose the scanning done button, then name your file and you have several pages all ready to be reviewed at a later time. Continue. DocuScan plus preview. DocuScan plus preview. List. Batch scan.
Now remembered where we were and put us on the batch scan. The next option.
Auto read scan.
Auto read scan.
Window, auto read scan. DocuScan Plus's auto-read option is great for those who want to preview books and printed mail without having the need to edit the pages scanned. You will find buttons for scanning the next page, saving the existing page, and the button for starting over at the bottom of the scanned pages. For even faster scanning and reading, you can press the spacebar to scan the next page while DocuScan Plus is reading what you've already scanned. When you hear two short tones, you'll know that DocuScan Plus is ready for another page.
Again, it's the same as simple scan, except A, you hear two short tones to let you know it's ready for the next page, and you do not have editing functionality in this option.
DocuScan Plus Preview, List, Auto Read Scan, Scan a PDF File.
Let's look at how to scan a PDF file.
Scan a PDF file, file name, edit combo box.
Okay, it's asking for a file name. I'm not sure, but I know all of my scan documents are in F:\PDF, so I will type that and press Enter.
F:\PDF, file name, edit combo, list, TX.
Now I will press Shift Tab to see a list of all PDF files I currently have.
Reaper User Guide PDF.
Reaper User Guide PDF. This is the user manual written to show you how to use the popular multi-track editor called Reaper. Okay, so now that we've highlighted Reaper, we will tab over to
File Name, Edit Combo Box, Reaper User Guide PDF, New Window,
and press Enter. Now this file is being converted. It is a few hundred pages, so it will take a little bit of time to perform this task. But once completed, as you will see, we can make an MP3, we can make a DAISY book or a Braille file, or even send this document to our Kindle if we happen to own one. As you can see, DocuScan Plus is a very powerful program, simple enough for the beginning user or complex enough to meet the needs of advanced power users or folks who need to use this in a career or educational situation. All you have to do to exit what you're currently working on is press the escape key.
DocuScan Plus. Do you want to close DocuScan Plus now? Yes button. Alt Y.
Now the final question you're probably asking is the price. DocuScan Plus comes in at less than one-third of other OCR technologies at a price of $299. Owners of Cerotech's original DocuScan can upgrade now through December 31st, 2010 for the price of $149. Please read the help to learn all of the great features this product has to offer. Plus, look forward to great audio tutorials as well as an audio-video walkthrough via accessible event. To learn more, you can call Serotech Sales at area code 612-246-4818 or toll-free for sales but not tech support at 866-202-0520. That's in North America. So give it a try, and welcome to the world of great scanning options from Serotech.
Hey everybody, it's Joe Steinkamp here, and I'm going to actually show you Spiel on my Android phone. Now, first, a little caveat. Remember that Android is not Android. There are different versions of Android. I'm actually going to be showing you Android on my LG Ally, which is on Verizon Wireless, and it's version 2.1. Your mileage may vary depending how you are using your phone. Certainly, those guys who are out there using 2.2 will have different voices like Loquendo and the like. But not to go too crazy into Android talk, let's actually sit down and play with Spiel. I've installed it on my phone. Quick note about the installation. The installation on the marketplace, you can go into the market and search for it in the downloads or in just your general marketplace. You will notice that there will be other products that show up that are German by nature, because the word Spiel is German for talk. You want to look for the one that says that it's created by Nolan Derelick, and he is the creator of Spiel. That is, well, on the search today, being that today is sometime in November 2010, he was the sixth one out of 10 under Spiel. So that will change. So you want to look for the ones that are mostly English, and we'll talk about screen readers. And at this point, it's version 0.9.9RC, I believe. So that's important to remember. Also, real quick, once when you load Spiel, you want to be able to turn talk back off. So let me show you how to do that real quick. I'm going to bring up my phone.
Menu, add, wall page search, notification settings.
Go into settings, and I'm going to come down into accessibility.
Call settings, sound and display, location and sync, applications, accounts and sync, privacy, SD card and phone search. 9 of language and cable accessibility, 11 of 4 accessibility settings, accessibility checked, 1 of 5 kickback not checked.
Kickback is, of course, the thing that allows your phone to vibrate, giving you haptic feedback, which is super cool.
Talkback not checked, 3 of 5.
There you go. Talkback is not checked, and I've taken the check mark out of there because if I keep going down.
Soundback not checked, 4 of 5. Spiel checked. 5 of 5.
I have a check mark in Spiel. That means that that is my active screen reader on the phone currently. You heard Soundback. Soundback is a way of having little notes and prompts to be able to tell you when you've closed something or opened something. I find it a little too busy for what I need it to be, and so I've turned that off. I'm going back to the home menu, and I'm actually going to go and put Spiel on my home menu, so I'm going to go into that real quick.
Spiel preferences tab.
So there are three tabs up at the top. The first one being preferences.
Script, Android system, 1 of 7.
Scripts, and right now it's sitting on the Android system. Those are pre-customized scripts already made. There's another one to the far right, and I'm actually using the D-pad to go left to right here in the three tabs at the top of the screen.
Events.
It didn't.
Focused text. Emergency call Verizon Wireless 10:31 a.m. Friday.
So it said events. I had my finger next to the proximity sensor, so that kind of cut it off real quick there. And then it started to read what events have happened. There is a way for scripters to get more information on how Spiel is reading on the screen. And the events is a way so that you can go back and see how it crashed or see how the screen reader activated on certain links or triggers. Speaking of that, let's go back to preferences real quick, and I'm just going to move the D-pad back to the left.
Scripts, tab, preferences, tab.
So I'm in the preferences. I'm now going to arrow down with the D-pad.
Speech, 1 of 6. Alerts, 2 of 6. Notifications, 3 of 6. Triggers, set actions to run in response to physical events, 4 of 6. Scripts, 5 of 6. Scripting and debugging, 6 of 6.
So we'll go into each one of these really quickly. This is real simple. When you download Spiel for the first time and you install it, and once when you have that running as your default, you might actually get a prompt to update scripts. This is Java-based, as most Android parts are, and you can actually have this give you updates for certain programs. So this week, as I installed it, there was actually an update for Google Maps, and there was actually an update for the scripts for Google Maps. And so it prompted me, and I could actually arrow down. It's a very simple menu. Arrow down, tell it to OK, and I can actually go in there and have that install the latest scripts. You can actually go in and uninstall scripts. We'll get to that in a second, but let's just go over where I am in general preferences really quick. Speech.
Speech, 1 of 6.
Has all your normal speech.
Rate scale, factor by which default rate should be scaled.
So we
rate
have
scale, rate, factor by which default,
and pitch.
Scale, factor by which default, echo by character, checked. 3 of 6, echo by word, checked. 4 of 7. Increase in call volume. Manage punctuation speech. Delicate speaking of some unhandled punctuation to skill, not checked, 5 of 7. Increase in call volume, use louder volume for speech during calls, not checked, 6 of 7. Text-to-speech settings, set system-wide TTS properties, 7 of 7.
And that's actually something that's in Android itself. You can actually get some, you can actually add accessibility preferences to your phone. And that will give you some more abilities to add things like change voices or change synthesizers, go in and have it do different things with extended speech. So that's the normal stuff that we'd normally find in the speech area. Let's come down one.
Alerts, 2 of 6. Talking caller ID, repeatedly announce caller ID details for incoming calls, not checked, 1 of 2. Voicemail alerts, repeatedly announce availability of new voicemail, checked, 2 of 2.
Now that sounds kind of basic, I know, but actually TalkBack does not do that. And so you can have this repeat the caller ID over and over again. That way, if you missed it the first time and if you didn't set yourself a customized ringtone, you can still get an idea of who's calling you, especially if you haven't gone in and set specific ringtones and everybody's kind of a generic ringtone.
Alerts, 2 of 6.
We'll come down to the third one.
Notifications, 3 of 6. Speak notifications even when screen is off, checked.
That's kind of helpful.
Speak notifications even when screen is off, checked.
That's kind of helpful because you can really blow your battery rather quickly if you always have your screen on. Android has a very quick default for screen on, screen off. You either go in and change that, or you get used to it because you will hear the word screen on and screen off a lot when using the phone.
Repeated speech for caller ID, voicemail notifications, etc. when ringer is off, not checked, 2 of 2.
And a lot of people turn their ringer off or just have this phone set to vibrate, and you can still have the speech give you your information, which is kind of helpful.
Triggers, set actions to run in response to physical events. 4 of 6.
Now, this is very interesting because you can actually go in and set this to do certain things when you do a physical thing with the phone.
Triggers. On shake. Set an action to perform when the device is shaken. On proximity near. Set an action to perform when the proximity sensor determines that something is near. 2 of 2.
So you can go in and actually have it not do what you would normally have with the proximity sensor. And by that I mean, if I go into this drop-down menu.
Alert. On proximity near. Stop speech. Cancel. Checked.
So that's what I have it set for at the moment. I'll show you what else you could actually set it for. I'm going to move up on the menu.
Create a script template for the most recent accessibility event. 3 of 4.
So you could actually go in, script what you want it to do. So when you shake it, or in this case, move your finger over the proximity sensor, it would do what you would script it to do.
Toggle whether or not spiel is enabled. 2 of 4.
So you can actually turn spiel on or off. And if you wanted to, you could actually set that for shaking the phone. So you have some options here to be able to customize things with physical triggers. And if you're very good with your scripting, you can actually add all sorts of crazy things to do just by shaking or moving your finger over the proximity sensor.
Near, set an action skill. Triggers, set actions to run in response to scripts.
I'm going to keep going down here. Here's the scripts area.
And scripts, Android system. Android system, 1 of 1.
So I'm going to go into that.
Android system, speak lock screen, checked. Speak lock screen, checked. 1 of 1.
So right now that's the only one that's under there. You can add things. You can, if you added more scripts, you'd be able to see more in there. I haven't gotten that bold yet.
Scripts, Android skill, scripting and debugging, 6 of 6.
Now this one is very interesting in that this is where some of the control is in the scripting and debugging tool.
Scripting and debugging, send back traces when skill crashes, automatically send anonymous error reports to the developer whenever skill crashes, requires restart checked. View most recent accessibility events, displays recent accessibility events with added functionality for script developers, checked, 2 of 2.
Now I have that one checked. That's how we heard those events at the very beginning of this demonstration, where you can actually find out how the screen reader is interacting with your phone on controls, maybe learn a little bit about how to script by seeing some examples, but also giving third-party people information back to see how Spiel is working with the Android system, and you can learn a lot more about it, especially if you're into programming, by going over to the Spiel site and seeing the repository. I'm going to show you really quickly here the base scripts that come in just the base install, so you can get an idea of what's already been scripted or what you're going to get when you first download it.
Preferences, scripts, tab.
So I'm in the scripts tab. I'm going to come down to the list.
Not Android system, 1 of 7.
Android system, and we heard that that actually had a customized script to read the lock screen, and it actually does read the lock screen better than TalkBack. I didn't even realize that there was a button for emergency call until it was actually reading it to me, and it read the time and the date, which is also something that TalkBack doesn't do readily. I've had it do it on a rare occasion, but it actually does it very often in Spiel.
Contacts, 2 of 7.
And there's another script.
Facebook, 3 of 7.
And that's Facebook, the new Facebook application. It does read that pretty well. The Facebook app prior to the update in November and the Spiel script was actually kind of difficult to use. You couldn't actually use the D-pad to get to some of the things. You had to memorize what button was where on the screen to be able to get to your wall or to be able to get to your messages. Now you can actually kind of sort of hear those, and that's actually very helpful for those who are big Facebook fans.
Max, 4 of 7. Messaging, 5 of 7. Music, 6 of 7.
And I've not used music yet. I also need to play with Rockbox, which is an Android accessible player as well. You can use that instead of your default player. One of the really cool things about Android is usually when you come across formats of a certain type, you actually can specify what you want that to do. So if you have two competing players, like right now, I have the Ideal web browser installed for accessibility, and that's how you actually read the web. I'll get to more about that in a second. But when I go to a website, in certain cases, I can actually determine whether I want the Google browser to read it or the K9 browser to read it. Continuing down the scripts here.
Voice search, 7 of 7.
So voice search is the way that you can actually use voice search. Usually the easiest way to do that is from the Eyes-Free Shell. And you can actually go down and do things really quickly. And this does work with Eyes-Free Shell.
Android Home. Spiel, Eyes-Free Shell, Home, Eyes-Free Scripts, Tab.
So I'm up in Eyes-Free Shell.
Search, Applications.
Weather, Austin.
Home, Eyes-Free Shell, Weather for Austin, TX 68 degrees Fahrenheit, sunny wind, S at 4 miles per hour, humidity, 29%.
And I simply did that by starting Eyes-Free Shell, and Spiel is now reading that instead of TalkBack. And the way Eyes-Free Shell works is it's like a phone pad. And if you put your finger in the middle, that's the 5. And I moved my finger down to where the 9 would be. And then I raised my finger, and that brought up the voice search. You can also do that for simple things like going up to the 3 to read battery.
72%.
Or to read my signal, which is up here at 1.
Verizon Wireless, Wi-Fi Atlantis 3 bars.
So that read not only that I was on Verizon Wireless, but it read the name of my Wi-Fi as well. The really neat thing that I have to say about Spiel is that it seems to make my phone run a little faster than TalkBack. Now, I know that's a little anecdotal, and it's going to vary depending on the handset and depending on the version that you're running. Certainly with Android 2.2, you can actually run this on the SD card, and some people are telling me that's a lot better than running in memory. I'm jealous because I can't do that with my LG Ally as of yet, which is supposed to go to 2.2. It's one of the things about Android in general is that you have to use another client in order to read the web, and that would be the ideal web reader, which is, I believe, still in beta, and you can find that by going to do a search for ideal in the Android market. The other caveat that I would have to say is that Spiel reads some things that TalkBack doesn't, and TalkBack reads some things that Spiel doesn't, but for the most part, Spiel reads more of what TalkBack doesn't, so that way there's a bit of a trade-off, and I tend to run more with Spiel more than TalkBack because I can get by with what it's not reading versus if I went back to TalkBack. So it's literally become my screen reader of dominance on my phone so far, and that's just after a couple of days of using it. And there's nothing to say wrong about TalkBack. I enjoy TalkBack too. It's just that for some of the things that I'm reading and the most common applications that I'm using, I find that I'm using Spiel more often. And it's, you know, both are free, so that's a wonderful option. You have the ability to choose. And again, like I said at the beginning, your mileage will vary because you might find that in the apps that you use most often, one or the other might work a little bit better. So you'll have to experiment. And then the last part I will say is that, screen off. The last thing that I'll say is that with anything Android, there you go. See, it did exactly what I said it would do. It just didn't do it when I wanted it to do it. The last thing that I'll say about the Android phone is that whatever we talk about this month in the podcast, unfortunately, will not be what happens 3, 4, 5 months down the line. The Android world is very wide and vast and changing constantly. We did a podcast, Tech Chat, back in September, and some of the things that we talked about in that Tech Chat are actually now obsolete. They've actually changed. The Facebook app, especially, that we talked about in September is not the Facebook app you would get now. So there is all sorts of craziness in the Android market. The best part about that craziness, though, is that most things seem to get more accessible each time they're updated. So there doesn't seem to be as much regression, and there seems to be a lot more choices coming to the market because now we have two free screen readers that we can play with as we choose.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.